Every summer, when I was young, growing up in the suburbs, I would look forward to August and our annual trip up the Old River Road to Sacramento and the State Fair. We would leave early on a Saturday morning and drive for 2 hours to the old fairgrounds near downtown. My father would park at the edge of a grassy parking lot near some trees so that we would have a shady place for our picnic lunch. At the fair, I was allowed to go on my own, and one of my favorite places was the high two-story brick building where the county exhibits were. The main floor was where the larger counties built their displays of fruits, vegetables, nuts, and flowers in imaginative arrangements, sometimes with animated characters or animals popping up from hidden corners. The smaller counties on the mezzanine level displayed forest scenes with evergreen branches and large fish tanks with live trout. Another of my favorite places was the cool dampness of the horticulture building. Smelling of gardenias and peat moss, some of the exhibits had artificial ponds with live goldfish and 5 years worth of my weekly allowance at the bottom. This was the place to go to get out of the blazing heat of Sacramento in August. But my most favorite place to go was the carnival. Starting in May, I would begin to set aside some of my allowance to spend at the carnival. Cotton candy was a must, and later in the day, the cooling goodness of a snow cone. But in truth, most of my money went to the dime pitch or the mechanical horse race. For years after, I greatly prized a small brass horse I won one summer. And I wish I had kept that small carnival glass candy dish like the ones I now see in antique stores. I could not understand it at the time, but my father's favorite place was the livestock barns. My father grew up on a small farm in southeast Ohio. They had a herd of sheep, a few hogs. They raised field corn, hay, and 9 or 10 dairy cows. A California suburb is a long way from a farm in Ohio. But once a year, my dad could spend time near livestock and hay and remember his youth. My father was a Future Farmers of America member when he was a boy, and today I'm going to visit Somerville and Sonora High Schools to learn about today's FFA members. We're sitting outside of the ag classroom at Somerville High School, and I've got three of the ag students here with me. Your name again?
Avery Gratwick.
Haley Wright. And Emma Marion.
And I came up here to find out what happens in the classroom, in the local high school ag classroom programs. So these three students are going to tell me why they are in an ag classroom, what the benefit of the ag classroom is, what they do in the ag classroom. Let me start off with each of you. Why did you take an ag class?
With this class, what I'm in right now is the Ag Leadership class, and it's all about leadership in agriculture. We are part of an officer team that goes and competes in competitions. One of them is a speaking contest, and we just help other kids get educated on ag and in our school and help our school know what ag is all about.
And when you say we, you mean FFA?
Well, yeah, and this class is the Ag Leadership class, so everybody in the classroom this period is part of the leadership class and the leadership team.
Are you in for the same purpose?
Or? Well, I'm going to be honest. When I first came into high school, I didn't want to be an ag. I wanted to sing. I loved to sing. And so I didn't want to be an ag at all. My mom forced me to be an ag. And so I got into it, and now that I'm a part of our officer team and a part of our Somerville FFA here, I've learned that it's not just about animals and outside. You learn so many skills that you can take on to your job. So you learn a lot from competing and speaking out loud, speaking to big groups of people, going to presentations. We went to Indiana this last summer to our national FFA convention, and we saw just how much support FFA gets from our community.
Well, FFA, to me, it was an interesting trip. For the fact that I never in my whole life thought, FFA? I don't want to be like them. They're all country, and I hate country music, and it's boring and gross and poop, and no. And I sit here today as our vice president of our officer team with enough leadership for a lifetime, and I've made so many wonderful friends. I wouldn't do anything differently. I love the fact that I'm able to express to everybody where our food comes from and how it's developed. That it's not all in factories, that it takes hard work, and it takes someone to go out there at 5 o'clock in the morning and feed the animals and come back and do the same thing at night.
Sun up and sun down.
Exactly.
Do you have, each of you have some ag background at home?
Yes.
Are you raising animals?
Yes, I live on a 44-acre ranch, and I have three horses now, two cows, three calves, probably about like 50 or so chickens, two pigs, and four dogs, and two cats. So all on a 40-acre ranch outside of Don Pedro. I've lived there since I was three, grew up on a ranch, lived down a dirt road, typical country, and I just love it.
Both on my mom's and dad's side, we both had farms. My dad's great-grandma owned a pig farm back in Iowa, so our agriculture is all the way back there as well. But now we live also on a 42-acre ranch here in Tuolumne. Tons of animals. We have different projects going on at my house right now. We have a mini horse breeding project going on, and also dog breeding projects. We're breeding calves right now to get some calves out of them. We're breeding some goats, some rabbits. So we have a huge breeding program going on at my house right now with tons of different animals, and it's a really big eye-opener. I have four other siblings, and it's just neat watching them grow up in that kind of environment. It blows your mind on how that takes course in a huge thing that feeds our world. So it's pretty amazing.
Do you have a farm background?
I do. I was raised on just 2 acres before I moved here in Paso Robles of 11 years, and we moved here to a house where I don't even have a quarter of an acre. There's barely any backyard, but I raise marketing chickens, and I raise about 30 at a time, butcher humanely, and send them off to our family and friends that would like to buy. I'm also doing emus, which are the second largest bird in the world. I have two of them, Ben and her. They're 26 years old. They're currently sitting on 2 baby emu eggs that will be hatching out on the 26th of this month. I'm super excited for next week. I'm also doing quail right now, 2 of them, Edgar and Tinsel. They're very wild, but they're being trained. I also do geese. I train geese how to be almost like a therapy animal. It's hard to believe because they're very aggressive animals. But I teach them how to walk on leash, attack and command, fly and command. And I sound crazy, but I believe that poultry is one of those items that in agriculture we don't look very highly on because it's a small animal, you know? It's not a cow, it's not a goat. And I thought that it'd be very important to show and spread the light of what poultry actually is.
Do you have plans to continue in agriculture? Maybe you'll go on to something other than agriculture, do you have?
Yeah, well, when I first started ag, I didn't really have any drive to continue after high school with ag, but actually just in the past year, my plans have kind of changed. I'm looking into going into a career in ag appraiser at MJC and studying there, and then going into an internship at American Ag Credit and going more into the ag side of business.
So you're thinking maybe get into the financial aspects of it?
An ag appraiser is more just assessing land,
Yeah. Seeing
the value in the land. So I'll be more of the person going out to the ranches and farms and assessing everything and then sending all like numbers and everything back to people that are behind the desk.
Well, like I said, when coming into high school, I didn't want anything to do with ag, but now our ag teacher, Miss Rachel Constonia, she's kind of inspired me to become an ag teacher. She's inspired me to move on and kind of be confident in myself to be able to speak in front of big groups of people, and I want to be able to teach kids that it's okay to get out of your comfort zone, have an impact on the world, and so I want to inspire kids to believe in ag and see how ag impacts our whole world in so many ways. So I want to be an ag teacher.
So I'm totally different. I'm a senior this year, so my plans are kind of set in stone. But as you know, they don't always stay permanent. Originally, when I did start doing FFA, it was to be a veterinarian. I took our first pilot veterinary class here, 2 years, worked in a vet office, and I realized I hate people. I could watch surgeries all day. I could work with the animals, the aggression. It's just you have interesting people that bring in the animals for not the best reasons. And so I realized that veterinary office and a veterinarian, not the career for me. My new path is a zoologist. I'm going into zoology to do animal research. So I will be using a little bit of veterinary medicine along the way.
What takes place in the classroom that helps you meet these goals? To me, the classroom is just a big dark box. I don't know what goes on in there. What is it in the school ag program that contributes or adds to or helps you accomplish what you've just talked about accomplishing?
Stress. A lot of stress in there. But the stress develops us into the characters we are today. It's stressful to understand that everybody has a responsibility. And as a leader, it is your job to show what you can do better for the group. And so we've learned, especially our whole ag class has learned, that FFA is a family. And no matter what the problem is, we stick together throughout it and help solve.
It's a lot of team building in the classroom. It's more just building relationships with the team and becoming closer with the people in there. And the ag program is getting kids to understand the ag side of life, what goes on behind the scenes with the food that is grown and the responsibility. With the SAE projects that we do and take like pigs and goats to fair, it teaches kids to be responsible for their animal that they're taking to fair.
In the classroom, are there tests? Are there projects?
The biggest thing I think is getting out of our comfort zone, definitely. Our teacher, I shouldn't say force, but she encourages us to go to these speaking competitions and talk in front of these judges and other students, FA members just like us, at state conventions, chapter level conferences, things like that, and we talk in front of all these people. And that's kind of our test, is to get us out of our comfort zones and get us out there into the world to have our name out to the people that may not know us. And so it's a fun competition. We win competitions all the time. We win speaking competitions. This weekend we get to go to our state convention down in Fresno, and we're going to see our state officers. We're going to see committee people talking. And so that's going to be a great experience. But I think the biggest thing is just getting out of your comfort zone and being able to open yourself up to people around your community without being holding yourself back.
You will write your own speeches,
mm-hmm.
and then practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you practice in front of the other students here, I assume.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Our whole chapter.
In preparation.
We actually just did our speeches for our new officers next year. Yesterday, the new officer's going in. I'm running for our president next year against another one of our students. But we just had to speak a speech in front of, and so now we're being voted on to speak.
We do have, though, actual written tests, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have our normal common sense verbalizing test, which is very important for the real world. But if you're in classes such as Ag 1, or if you're in classes with veterinary science, you're going to learn terms and things like that. I didn't know what tachycardia was. I didn't know what polydactyl meant. I didn't know what a giardia was until now. And those things are things you have to know slowly for certain careers. Ag 1, you learn what is a rumen, like what has it, what doesn't, how many stomachs are in this and that, and it's so important. We do tests on those written, verbal, pictographic.
Mm-hmm.
We get tests for our officer parts.
Yep.
Each one of us have to remember a part for our meetings, and it's long. I mean, mine as a vice president is the longest part, and it's a lot, but you have to know it word by word, no mistakes.
And here also, our classes are kind of in order, so we have Ag 1, Ag 2, and Ag Leadership. You have the choice to take Ag Leadership whenever you want. We have different awards. The first-year members get Green Hand Awards, and they have to go through these different challenges in order to get that award. And then we also get our chapter degree, which all of us have gotten. Some of us have also gotten our state degree, and then we can move on to our American degree. And so those are awards that you have to work for through keeping records, financials, speaking, going to community events, and serving our community in order for us to get those events.
And only 3% of all FFA members get their state degree, and 1% of all FFA members get their American degree. Those last two degrees are very time-consuming, and you have to be very committed to get those. And me and Haley here, we both got in our state degree, and we both are looking into getting our American degree.
You think it'll take a couple more years?
Yeah, we can't get it until our second year in college. We have to rack up so many hours. I think it's 5,000 hours.
Yeah.
I think is our American degree. So we have to have 5,000 hours in agriculture-related events. So whether that's volunteering at a vet office or at a farm or just being involved with agricultural overall, that's how you get those hours, going to fair, coming back to teach, those kind of things.
And over $7,500 we have earned through profit in our SAE projects and through just raising and selling animals. So that's another very big piece of it.
In Ag 1 and Ag 2, mm-hmm. are there actual textbooks
No. Okay. Well, we do have textbooks. We do have textbooks, and we do use those for, like I said, anatomy. A lot of those books are used for anatomy and plant science, definitions, plant science, things like that. Our teacher tries to get us outside and hands-on as much as possible. We just built our greenhouse this year. We got it up and running. We have plants growing in there. We have pregnant sows up on the farm, rabbits. We just got our fair lambs up there, and so she tries to have us outside as much as possible, hands-on plants and animals, and just working up on the farm to give us experience of what the agriculture is about.
When you say the farm, do you mean Wildcat Ranch? Or?
No, that's Sonora's farm. We have
I thought they shared. But
we have our own farm here on our campus. Here on our campus, we have our own farm right up our hill, and we have
very established
three big barns up there. We have a garden going, our greenhouse. Everything is established up there. We have our own weighing station up there for all of our fair animals, things like that. So we have all of our resources here, right on our farm.
Small fruit tree orchard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sorry? What?
Small fruit tree orchard. We got like 10 of those up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's a 10-acre?
Yeah, something like
10
that.
10-acre
yeah.
farm up there?
It's enough space for us to have a donkey, pigs, mm-hmm. goats, lambs, rabbits, everything. What we need. We got the space.
No geese?
No, they won't let me have my geese.
We have some chickens. We have some chickens.
Okay.
Too dangerous.
So we have some chickens. And we also do kindergarten days here. And so we bring animals from around the community. Like, I'll bring my mini horses and my mini donkeys here. We have our local alpaca owner who's going to bring his alpacas here.
I bring Petunia.
Yeah, and you bring,
Petunia.
Is that a goose?
No, it is a chicken that walks on a leash.
Uh-huh. So we bring our animals from around the community to share with the younger kids to try to get them involved in their early life with agriculture.
Is there anything you want to add?
If you're looking to buy a baby emu, there'll be two of them for sale at the fair. Come see the emu.